And it's good to, obviously, haven't really seen you guys since recruiting. It's good to update you kind of where we are as we head into spring football. I'd like to begin, I know he's not here, but by saying happy birthday to Dave Campbell, who has his 93rd birthday today. And so he graduated Baylor in 1950, and he's been a special guy. I always appreciate when he comes by the office to see me. I always appreciate his questions, his insight, and we would certainly look forward to seeing him again. But happy birthday to you, Dave. We appreciate you and all that you do for football. First begin by just talking a little bit about recruiting and the six mid-year kids that are here right now. I think they've done a tremendous job. In addition to them, Derek Thomas, who we didn't talk a whole bunch about, but Derek, the kid that played for us at Temple, graduated and is here as a graduate transfer. He's a guy that we think can add depth in our defensive backfield, and we hope that he'll help to continue our defensive growth, and then hope that he'll be an NFL guy this time next year. So good student, good person. Very proud to have Derek join the team. We've had some staff changes since we talked last. So, you know, obviously with the NCAA's decision to add a 10th assistant, really excited for Evan Cooper to move from the director of player personnel into that 10th assistant position. He'll work in the defensive backfield, work with Fran Brown as an assistant secondary coach and Phil Snow. And I think the job that Evan's done since getting here in personnel has been outstanding. And I think he'll do a great job as an on-the-field coach as well as an on-the-road recruiter. Great to have Frisman Jackson come join us. You know, Frisman worked with me at Temple, spent this year at the Tennessee Titans, tremendous coach. And I was really proud of the growth of our receivers last year. Denzel Mims going from less than 10 catches, whatever it was, to, you know, a 1,000-yard receiver. And I think Friz will take those guys to the next level. He's just what they want to be. He's a guy that played college football, played pro football, has coached pro football, has coached college football. Great man, great father, great husband, and he'll take them to the next level. Good to have Frank Ocam here coaching the defensive line, another guy that's done everything our guys want to do. Played high school football here in Texas, All-American, national championship, draft pick, college graduate, master's degree, and it's great to have Frank. In our personnel department, hired Eric Joseph as the director of player personnel, from the University of Tennessee. And, you know, we hope that he can take that top 25 class we had and turn that into a top 15 and top 10 class. In addition, we hired Sean McDowell from Foster High School to serve as the director of recruiting. So hiring Eric and hiring Sean, I think, will really take us to the next level in terms of our, you know, our player personnel offices. And with the hiring of Sean, you know, not bad for a Yankee like me, we now have 10 people that played Texas high school football working in the football program. And I don't know where that ranks amongst the schools, you know, down here in Texas and in the Big 12, but it's got to be pretty high. And then finally, Sean Bell is going to take on the role of an on-the-field coach. George DeLeon, in the end of recruiting, suffered a broken hip. And as he rehabs and mends, great chance for Sean, one of the best young coaches I've been around, to step on the field. George will continue to mentor him off the field as a consultant, and continue to be around the program, obviously, and lend all of his leadership. He is one of, if not the best, offensive line coaches in the country. But in the interim, while he gets healthy, Sean will take on an additional role on the field, and I'll hopefully have a chance to be a little bit of a football coach and get my offensive line days back a little bit. So unfortunate for George, but his knowledge and his experience will benefit Sean. And Sean's a Baylor guy through and through, and we're excited about him. In terms of players, you know, we have a couple guys who are suspended for the spring. Eric Oger, Trayvon Lewis, Justin Harris, and John Arthur are all currently suspended and will not participate in spring ball, all for, you know, different disciplinary matters. I know you guys are going to want to ask me questions about that, but, you know, due to kind of the way I've done it in the past and also student privacy laws, I probably won't be able to say much more about that after that. But, again, Eric Oger, Trayvon Lewis, Justin Harris, and John Arthur all will not be participating in spring ball for different disciplinary matters. In terms of injuries, I unfortunately have a little bit big of a list. Drew Dixon and Clay Johnson are out right now. We hope that they'll be back by the middle of the spring. Clay, you know, didn't finish the season, but he is getting healthy and doing a good job. Blake Blackmore, Kyle Boyd, shoulders after the season, and so they'll both be out for the spring, but we'll be back for the season. Drew Galitz, Gavin Holmes, Obviously, they tore their ACLs, as did Chris Platt. They're all making great, great progress. We fully anticipate them being back for the season, but they obviously will not be out there for the spring. Josh Malin is out right now for the spring, as is Casey Phillips, Rob Saulin, Pooh Strickland, and Deontay Williams. So those guys have worked really hard in the rehab department to try to get back. We've gotten a lot of guys back, but those guys are still limited and or out. In addition to that, Charlie Brewer, who got injured in that last game and really had sort of a lingering shoulder issue from high school, he'll be on a little bit of a limited basis as we start spring football, a little bit of a limited pitch count, and we'll see where he goes from there. So before I take a couple questions, just wanted to talk a little bit about the offseason. I thought our guys did just an absolutely tremendous job this offseason. I thought the gains were outstanding, gains in the weight room, gains really throughout the program. Every single guy, gains in terms of our mentality, in terms of our work ethic, our accountability, but certainly also in terms of our physical development. Their ability to work, and I really think their ability to come together as a team has been outstanding. Really the highlight for me has been the advancement and the stepping up of our senior class. And I always believe that teams can't be great if seniors don't play their best football. And that can be hard because sometimes seniors are thinking about what's next, or they're thinking about the NFL, they're thinking about all the things after them. But I think our seniors have shown a united front. They've led by example, whether it's been the injured guys, you know, showing up every morning at 5:45 to get their rehab and still lead, or whether it's been the guys, you know, in the trenches that want to play their best football, the guys out there in the weight room, on the field. They've worked hard. They have developed. They have really shown tremendous buy-in. And it's that reason why I'm so excited as we head into spring football. And, you know, we have 37 days until the spring game, really a chance for us to continue to develop. And we have a lot of young players, a lot of kids that are freshmen and sophomores. And so it's their time to show us, hey, am I ready to play coming this fall? So exciting time for us. I know I gave you guys a ton of information, but I haven't seen you in a while. And I'll see what questions you have.
Matt, the suspended players, are they still enrolled in school? And is there a chance they could return?
I know they're all enrolled in school. And then in terms of where they are in their, you know, suspensions, you know, some I know more about because they're suspended, you know, by me, and some other, you know, are grander things. So I think they're all sort of up in the air as of right now.
Coach, yesterday you came out saying that you didn't have many details on the investigation, but that Baylor was doing things the right way. If you don't have many details, how can you know that Baylor's doing things the right way? And have you met with the equestrian team coaches?
How do I know things if I don't have many details? Well, because without getting into too many details about it, what I would say is the policies were turned over to the people that are supposed to handle it, and because I don't know very much about it. You know, if I was in the loop, I think that's really where a lot of people have gotten in trouble when the football, you know, I'm the football coach, and so I handle the football. Anybody that's involved or alleged to be involved, or, you know, whatever, they're separated from the teams, or the team, I should say. So that to me seems to be the right thing. You know, when something happens, you're separated from the team until there's clarity on the situation. And the people that do this for a living, they handle the investigation. So that's really more what I mean. There's no hiding. It's been very transparent from this side in terms of that. But I don't know much about the case, and I think that's really a good thing because I probably really shouldn't know much about it as the football coach.
And have you met with the equestrian team coaches? Were you interviewed by police?
I don't know how much I'm really allowed to say because I was probably not as prepared. I have not met with the equestrian team coaches, I can tell you that. I mean, I know them, I see them, but I have not met with anybody. And I have met with people. And so, I mean, just varying groups. So I'd say campus people and the police as well. So I guess I'm allowed to say that.
Have you seen the video?
I have not seen anything.
Matt, you talked about Sean coming on. I'm guessing he's not coaching offensive line, or how do you break up all that? Or is he coaching offensive line?
No, Sean's coaching the offensive line right now. So the way the rules work in college football is you can have one coach who handles the players on the field and handles them in meetings, but you can have other people that are in the game planning. You know, so you know, George, just because of his hip, really can't be in the mix right now and be out. You know, I mean, he's out. He'd be out there with a cane if he could, right? But he really can't be in the mix of the drills. And so He'll watch the drills. He'll monitor everything. He'll communicate with Sean. And then really it'll be Sean, myself, and Josh Cochran that'll handle the day-to-day drills and meetings. And then, you know, George will sit in the meetings, help, you know, watch Sean do it, and then give him a little bit more help afterwards.
How much different does it feel going into spring this year with, you know, a full recruiting class under your belt, really an off season to kind of work with or have these guys working in your program?
I would say it's night and day, just because, you know, guys kind of know what to expect. You know, like we had 5:30 workout the last 3 days in the stadium, and I usually try to get here like at 5:25, and I'd like to be the last one here. You know, if I'm the first one here, it means we have a problem, and I've been the last one here. I mean, our guys have been unbelievable in terms of their work ethic, in terms of their details, in terms of their just attention to being a teammate, working with each other. So I think that's going to carry over. And it's really not that they didn't try last year. It's just the more you know, the easier it is, right? When you know what to expect, when you know what team commitment week means, when you know what all these different things mean, it's way, way, way easier to go out and attack it. When you don't really know, you're kind of trying to, you know, figure everything out.
I know depth at quarterback's a concern, but are you pleased with depth in other areas, or do you feel that you need a little bit, you know, a couple more bodies along some positions?
I think the quarterback depth is just a concern. Having two scholarship quarterbacks right now, probably not many teams in the country are like that, though we have some other guys in Preston Hurd that we feel really, really good about. So I'll make sure I say that. I would say depth at pass rusher, defensive end. You know, Xavier Jones is a guy that was playing really well for us, got hurt. He's coming back. He's not back yet, but he's coming back. So I think, you know, having some guys that we can identify that can really step up and play and, you know, get us some pressure off the edge. But other than that, I feel pretty good about our depth in most areas. I mean, we still are really young on the offensive line. I'd like to see us, you know, grow a little bit. But we have the bodies there, and everybody's on scholarship or, you know, proven that they can do it. So it's just time for them to step up.
Matt, with the injuries and the suspensions, how is that going to affect practice? Is it going to affect it a lot? Or?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think every year I've gone into football, gone in spring, I've had a couple guys suspended for the spring. And you know, I think every year I've had injuries. And so, really just maybe a little bit on the O-line depth, which means it's going to give an opportunity for a lot of guys to go out there and prove what they can do. And so I think we'll be good, though. I think we have enough guys, and I think we have a lot of young guys that this is one of the most important springs for them in their life because they have to go out and prove that they are going to help us in the fall. You know, I know Ira Lewis is going to go out and be an all Big 12 player. And I know Denzel Mims is going to go out and be an all, and Chris Platt is going to go out and be an all, but I need to know, like, hey, are these young guys going to step up and play for us? And so it just puts a little more onus on them, which is what they need, you know, because they'll come out of the spring forged and hardened and ready to go.
When were the suspended players suspended, and did they play against Iowa State? Or did not play, excuse me, were they on the sidelines against Iowa State?
I don't believe so.
In other words, when you heard of whatever happened, or whoever did it in the athletic department, the players were immediately separated from the football program,
yep,
and have not been a part of it since that time.
Yes, sir.
Coach, you had a kind of two different groups.
I just can't live in a world where I'm like trying to, you know, remember date. I mean, that's like, you know, the dates and.
But the disciplinary are part of it.
Yeah.
Immediately separated.
And that's why, going back to your great question, but I think we talk about, like, it's not like there's process in place here where. There's a committee that take it out of my hands, right? Like, there's a committee that steps in and says, we meet, this happened, you're separated from the team. It's not Coach Rule. This is a committee. And, you know, it's really at the forefront of most of college athletics. I mean, reading articles in The Athletic where everyone's talking about what do you do. Like, we have a committee on campus that comes together and says, this is what we're going to do. So I'm not on that committee. So the exact date, you know, it just when this first was alleged incident happened, those people stepped in and said, you're separated from the team. And so that's why I feel good about, you know, it seems like everything was done right, but I'm not in those rooms. I'm not on those committees. Those are committees held by people, you know, higher up than me. And so, but yeah, as soon as it was found out about that happened.
Were they suspended then or just separated? Are we talking about two different things?
Yeah, same thing. No, same thing. Yes, ma'am.
You said that there were some players that have been removed from the program due to this committee, but then you said there were some players that you suspended. There was a difference. Can you tell us who the players are?
Getting into the players or anything like that. So I'll just stop. What I was saying was, in past years, I've always had players suspended. And what I said was, there's four players suspended for spring football. I'm not going to sit there and say this guy did this, this guy did that. Does that make sense? So there's players that are suspended because of a university incident, which I'm not going to talk about because that's not my world. And there's also other incidents. And so there's other guys, just like for the first game this year, I had guys suspended for the first game. And that's, I have the right to suspend guys as well. And that's usually a little different thing. That's, you know, they're not going to class. That's, they're not. So, you know, I know you guys want to know names and all those things, but that's, at the end of the day, that's really not my role, and I'm not going to step into that role. My role is to, you know, handle the guys that are there, and then when I feel someone needs to be suspended for not going to class, for not whatever, then I will do that. But so I've done that with players every year, every spring. They usually come back at some point. I did it during the season. I've done it again this spring. But in terms of who's what, I'm not going to really go down that path.
Was there a reason why you all didn't announce when they were separated as being disciplined or suspended back then?
Why don't we just preemptively announce things?
You talked about the guys you suspended back in September. You told us about those guys.
Because right before a game. Okay. Yeah, usually if someone's going to play before a game, I'll say, hey, they're suspended. So.
Matt, you're trying to develop the offensive line depth. Malin and Blackmar, you kind of know what they can do. So maybe does that not hurt as much, knowing that you kind of know what those guys can do, but you're still trying to develop that offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, Frew Morgan's a guy that's played a lot of football, played at Clemson. But, you know, we feel good about Blake Blackmar. Pat Lawrence is a senior. I mean, we'll work him, but we won't throw him to the fire. He's got so many reps. And you'll see a lot of guys that are veteran guys that have had 2,000 reps in their career. You know, I think that's the number Urban Meyer uses. They won't get as much work as maybe some of the other guys, but you know, Blackmore doesn't really need to go out there. He just needs to get healthy, and same thing with Malin. So certainly lessons to blow, but I think it's an opportunity for the young guys to go out and prove, hey, what can I do, how, you know, am I ready to play or not, and for them to then see where they are, and then, you know, come back in the fall and hopefully improve, because we'll need some young guys to help us, you know, on the offensive line.
Casey come in hurt?
Casey was hurt in high school, and so, you know, several of these injuries were injuries from guys from a couple years ago. And I think just collectively, the medical staff just wanted to clean some guys up. So, Casey got hurt in high school, finished out his high school career, you know, banged up, knowing he was going to have surgery, then had the surgery right afterwards.
Matt, do you expect all the injured guys to be back for the fall?
Yep. There's always a change, you know, but I mean, I pretty much assume that everyone will be back. Gavin Holmes with an ACL late in the season, when he's back. The one thing I won't do is rush them back. You know, sometimes you read, hey, guys are coming back from ACLs in 6 and 7 months. I'd much prefer to have those guys be really healthy. I think one of the positives is Abram Smith, you know, came off his second ACL last spring, the first day of spring, and he's healthy for the spring. But I'll try to do a good job of just bringing him along slowly. You know.
Those guys, you told us a lot about last year with Jalen, unable to play, but now this year, how much of a lift does he give you guys on offense now that he will be able to be out on the field?
Yeah, I think, you know, and he's, again, we'll work Jalen in the spring, but we've all seen what he can do. We don't have to overwork him. But, you know, to do what he did at Tennessee, to really be one of the best players in the country, be one of the best players in the SEC, be one of the best players ever to have played at Tennessee, and he's come here, he's had tremendous work ethic. He's been a guy that loves football, works hard, plays hard, so I'm anxious to get him out there and let him go, but I think he'll bring a significant lift. And what you have is you have a bunch of young receivers that played a lot of football last year because of the things that happened in terms of injuries and all that. And then now you add in Chris Platt back, who was on pace to set national records for his, you know, deep ball, his deep plays, and he's coming back. I mean, freakishly fast. He's so gifted. And then you add in Jalen. To guys like Tony Nicholson and Denzel Mims, who played a lot of football, and then the young kids. So I think that'll be a position of strength for us as we move forward.
What kind of receiver is Hurd?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
What kind of a receiver is Jalen Hurd?
You know, he's a tailback at Tennessee, and he's converted to receiver. He's lost some weight. So he's obviously great with the ball in his hands. He's a big body at 6'4", 230. So he's a guy that versus bump and run, versus press coverage, you'd like to think that he can use his physicality to get off. But he does have great speed. I mean, he is 4'4", at 230, 235 pounds. And so I do think he'll give us a deep threat. But, you know, I think he's a guy that you're hoping you can get the ball in his hands and he will do things, you know, run after the catch. And that's one of the areas, as you go back last fall, didn't have a ton of times where we made plays after the catch in terms of making somebody miss. And so hopefully Jalen will add to that.
Now he's lost weight to 230?
Yes, ma'am.
Have you thought about moving him to tight end? I mean, he's got that, or H-back or something?
He's just so fast. I mean, he's just so gifted outside. He's just a mismatch. I mean, he's really one of the most physically gifted players I've ever been around. And so I think and I think when he left Tennessee as a tailback, he was looking for a place to go play wide out. He felt like that was where his career would go in the next level. I mean, he's a high draft pick at tailback, but long term, I think he thought he was a wide out, and I don't disagree. So
he had already decided to switch to receiver before he transferred.
Yeah,
he
was looking
at didn't try to talk about that.
No. I think he's a great receiver. I think he's one of those kids who could do a lot of things.
How big of an impact can Lockhart make?
I hope so. I mean, I think last year, you know, as you're going through a tough year, one of the bright spots was a lot of the guys on the scout team, you know, a lot of the redshirt freshmen and, you know, true freshmen that were redshirting. But I thought James Lockhart was really a presence. And, you know, he had a chance to play 2 years at A&M, had a chance to get his feet underneath him, had a chance to get bigger and stronger. But the year off, I think, you know, gave him a chance to just mentally take a break, get really focused. And he's one of the strongest guys on our team. He's one of the more mature guys on our team. He has tremendous work ethic, and he also has perspective because he's played in two different programs. And so I'm hopeful that he'll add a presence for us off the edge. You know, as Greg Roberts has had a great offseason, as Greg develops, as B.J. Thompson, you know, continues to develop as a pass rusher, as Zex Jones comes back from injury. You know, we took Jamie Jacobs. We're trying Jamie at tight end a little bit. So, you know, hopefully James Lockhart will be a guy that can really give us something coming off the edge.
You had Anu Solomon as a transfer. What's your philosophy on a transfer quarterback? Is it too late now, or would you accept somebody this summer to help with the depth of quarterback?
I would take a transfer. Yeah. I would take it has to be a graduate transfer. You know, obviously to have someone eligible to play right away. But, you know, I feel really good about Charlie. I've been just blown away by Gary Bohannon's maturity, work ethic, toughness. So I know we have two guys that were winners. Preston Hurd's a guy that, you know, every time coming down the stretch last year when we had some injuries, we knew he could go in there and win for us. So we have three guys we felt good about. But, you know, in terms of just having another mature guy, have another quarterback, I would certainly take a graduate transfer if we have the room, if we have the scholarships. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. And if we have the room in terms of our scholarship count.
Are most of those guys aware that you might have that depth chart set? Would they come in here knowing if they're not the starter?
Yeah, I don't really have many depth charts set in my brain. You know, I'm you know, after being in the NFL and, you know, every Tuesday in the NFL, they bring in 20 guys to try out to replace you. I think everything is about competition. But the good players love competition. You know, I mean, good players want to go out and prove that they're the best. And so, you know, anybody that wants to come in here knows that we have a great young quarterback in Charlie. They know we have a high recruit, a tremendous talent, Gary Bohannon. And so they have to make a decision. And I think that's, you know, I think as we've gone through the process, I think that has, you know, a lot of people have had to ask. That's why I respect Gary so much. He's looking at Charlie do everything he did and says, I'm still going to go there because I want to go to Baylor. And I believe in myself. So that's pretty cool when you see that.
Is Charlie's just healing, or was that a surgery type deal?
No surgery, just healing, just rest. I think it's, you know, some old injuries in there that were aggravated when he was hit against TCU. And so he's taking the time, I guess, to, you know, let it heal, rehab it, strengthen his shoulder. He has throwing shoulder too. And then at the same time now, we don't want to get back into spring and overthrow him. So they're going to put him on a little bit of a pitch count, it sounds like, based upon his doctor and our doctors and trainers.
Was it shoulder sprain?
No, I think it was more his rotator cuff labrum, more in the I don't really know the difference between those two things, but no surgery. Yeah, no surgery, just an old injury that had to heal, had to strengthen, and then go from there.
He's in pain tolerance level with that. My orthopedist told me the difference between them. One's a pain tolerance and one's a weakness. But, I mean, how much will he be limited?
Just more in terms of how often he throws. I think he feels great. As a matter of fact, I was walking through here from the weight room. I just saw him. I mean, he feels great. He's in there lifting. But I think if anything like this, we just want to ease him back into it. So, again, he's not out, but he's just on more of a controlled thing. And the great thing about quarterbacks, you know, we don't hit him in the spring. So he should not take too many hits. But he'll practice. He just won't, you know, we don't want to go out there and re-aggravate a shoulder that's already strained.
Coach, safety a position last year that looked vulnerable at times. What are some things that you want to see out of that position group come in spring?
Well, we moved Blake Lynch to safety. For Kedrick Vaughns and Chris Miller, you know, coming back from last year, I think each guy has a little different thing they have to work on. For Kedrick, played a ton. He just needs more reps back there. Chris is a gifted kid physically, just as he continues to really learn the position so he can play with confidence. You know, Blake is a guy that, you know, has played a bunch of different positions. And we think he's settled in. We think he could be a great, great, great safety. And then, you know, we have some other guys that we think can help us, you know, and some young players. You know, we brought Christian Morgan and JT Woods. And so we try to always play a couple of different safeties, you know, especially in this league of the Big 12. You know, there's such great wideouts. You want to make sure you have some depth back there. But I think the biggest thing for us to improve on at safety is our tackling. You know, really, the number one, as you go back and watch us last year, the number one thing that hurt us on defense was missed tackles and giving up big plays just because guys kind of not having tremendous awareness of what we're doing. And so they've worked so hard, our awareness, our big giving up big plays. You'll watch that, I think, go down significantly. But, you know, can we tackle? And, you know, you have to practice it to do it, but you can't do it all the time or else you'll always be hurt. So, you know, we have to be really targeted with how we do it. And so I think adding those bodies, getting some young kids in there, really watching those other guys grow up, I think that'll be really good for us.
And how do you foster balancing that, you know, competition with the young guys, but also not overworking these players that you said have already gotten a ton of reps?
I think you play the older, the guys that you feel like, and there's not a ton of them, the guys you feel like, you know what, we have to be really careful with him just because he's played so much. I think you practice them in drills, you practice them in team, but when it goes to scrimmages and live work and all that, you don't play them quite as much. And you pull them out and let the young guys get a little bit more of the scrimmage work. And it really just comes down to how many reps you take overall. You know, you can't go out there, you know, luckily it's spread out over 40 days. So spring ball is 15 practices. You usually get a day or two off or a day off and a day or two off on the weekend. But I think the key is just to make sure that the guys like Ira Lewis, I mean, Ira has things he has to work on, things he wants to work on, but he doesn't need a ton of like live reps. And Pat Lawrence doesn't need a ton of live reps. So we'll try to practice them, but we don't want to push them into the live reps. So.
Coach, tight end last year, you kind of had to raid that for the O-line. Do you see Tecklenburg or Malin moving back? And what are your plans for tight end?
I think Tecklenburg, I think first of all, Sam Tecklenburg is like one of the great stories on our team. And he has just developed into a leader and a tough guy. And I think he's going to be a great offensive lineman for us as our starting center. And so I'm excited about him. So I don't see him moving back and mailing him. He's 305 now, you know. And so, you know, I remember we played Oklahoma State. It was a tough game. And I remember telling the team, like, you know, Malin's out there fighting his tail off at 282 pounds, 284 pounds. You know, he's 305 now. And so his time's coming. So I expect Josh to go out there and be a real strength on the offensive line. So I think Malin playing on the offensive line, I think Tech playing at center have been really good things for us. In terms of other tight ends, you know, Jamie Jacobs, like I said, we moved over. Tyler Henderson as a freshman redshirted last year. You know, down the stretch, I really thought about playing Tyler. You know, I said he's ready to play. He's good enough to play. But I wanted to finish the year out for him, save his year and let him redshirt. So I think he's ready to go now. Christoph Henley is a true freshman that came in. Rob Solon played as a tight end last year, played in four of the first six games, got injured, so we were able to apply, get that year as a redshirt. So Rob will have 4 years left, but he's now kind of grown into an offensive lineman. He's in the 290s, so he'll be a 300-pound offensive lineman come this fall.
Coach, with these suspensions and with –
you knew what you stepped into when you came here. You knew what you stepped into. Do you think you're ever going to do a press conference where you don't have to talk about things off the field?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, and I've had lots of press conferences like that. But you know, these are the issues everywhere, you know. And so, I mean, this isn't a Baylor thing. This is a our world thing. And so, you know, I willingly, you know, answer those questions. And it's always hard because, again, now, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I know you guys have a job to do. I want to be respectful of that. But at the same time, I also want to make sure I don't, you know, I'm not trained to how what to say. You know, so I want to make sure I say you know, I want to be very respectful of everyone involved. And so, to me, justice is far more important than, you know, what's thought of me or anything like that. So, but yeah, I mean, I think great days are ahead and great days are here. And but you know, in college football, in college athletics, in college, in the world, you know, in the Grammys, I mean, these are major issues. And so I don't think any of us should run away from them. I mean, I'm watching the Emmys, the Grammys, whichever one it is, and you're watching all the movements, Me Too movement. I mean, this is what we all need to be talking about. And so I'm willing to do it. I just don't want to make sure I do it in a respectful way. So.
With these suspensions, you've also had two coaches be let go. Are you worried at all about the culture of the program?
No, not at all. You know, I think it's a great question. I appreciate the question. I think one of the hard things for me is this, and I probably, you know, I will say this. You know, you have a choice to make when you're in this position. You can either, because things happen all the time, everywhere, in every world, and you're in this position, you can either hide from it and try to hide it from all you guys so it looks like everything's great and then you end up not doing the right thing, or you can be very transparent about things knowing that you open yourself up to criticism. And so I think as you look at the scandals and things that have happened not other places, it's always been when people are afraid to handle what's happened. And so, you know, I've tried to be transparent about everything that's happened. When things happen with our staff, we dealt with it, we moved on, we let them go. When things have happened with our players, we've tried to deal with it in the right way, try to in a just way, but you know, and move on. And so, I don't think any of this belies the culture. I'll say this: we have wonderful young men here, and we have wonderful guys that are in the community. We have wonderful guys that are doing things right. And as a program, I mean, we've gone so far to educate our young men about what you more so. I mean, people are coming in and writing about what, even as an athletic department, a football program, what they're doing. They're saying, look how much education, look how much they're doing. You know, Neil Irvin from Men Can Stop Rape, the Clary organization, all these people are coming in and educating our young men. And so that's our job, is to educate them. And then when something happens, it's our job to deal with it justly and not try to hide it and be afraid of what people are going to write, but just to then go out there and handle it, you know, justly, knowing that, you know, people are going to say things, and I get all that, but that doesn't mean there's a bad culture. There's bad culture when grown-ups, when kids do things and grown-ups hide them. And nobody's hiding anything here. And so that's why I know that we're doing things right. And I certainly understand the questions, and I don't mind. I knew they're coming. I appreciate them. But I will say, we have 120 guys. We have 120 guys, you know, a bunch of them doing things right. And so if something happens, and I don't know what happened. So that's why I hate to comment it. That's why I really, you know, but I can say that the suspensions happened. Not saying anybody did anything wrong, but we're just going to separate people from the teams until we know, from our team until we know, you know, what happened. And justice can be, you know, served.
I've kind of thought about kind of what she asked earlier, maybe letting us know when those things happen ahead of time instead of you having to respond to us coming now.
Yeah, I always think about it like, it's part of it's globally, but I think at the end of the day, like, I'm really deeply not I'm concerned, but it's not really about what people think. It's really about, at the end of the day, did we do what's right? You know, really, justice is way different than how people perceive you. And so at the end of the day, when you shine a light on me and you shine a light on a program, when we found out something happened, did that suspension or did the right things happen? If the right things happened, then everything else is just us trying to be, you know, publicity oriented. And so that's my job, is to mentor young people, to teach young people. And when something happens, to turn it over to the people who it's responsible for. And all those things are happening. So that to me is just. And so I feel very good about us being just. And really, at the end of the day, history will look back on all of us and say, not were you popular, not did people like what you did, but were you just? And so I'm not perfect. We made a ton of mistakes every day, everything I do. But I feel like as a program, in this situation, we were just. And I just don't ever feel like it's right for us as grown-ups to start publicly putting young people, college students, business out there until it's time. And that's not my decision. I'm not, you know, in charge of all these things, but I just don't, you know, that's other people. But it is our responsibility to make sure that things are being held and to the right standard and sent to the right people, and those things are all happening. So,
Coach, in the sake of transparency, you listed four players, which we appreciate. But you, like I said, you separated the groups. In the sake of being transparent, why don't you tell us the players that you had control of and suspending for not going to class or whatever reason that is? We don't need that. But why don't you?
Very fair question. Because at the end of the day, I've never done that before. You know what I mean? Like, and so I'd be changing. You know, to me, I've always very simply said these guys are suspended and moved on. And I know we're all gonna leave here. I have to leave. I'm gonna see with those kids or other kids. And at the end of the day, I don't know that it's, I don't feel like it's, when I go to bed tonight, I don't wanna be the one that's putting people's names in the newspaper. Everyone else can do that. I want to feel like when I go to bed tonight, that when things happened, I turned them over. Well, not me, but we as an athletic department turned them over to the right people. We did the right things, but I don't want to feel like I'm putting kids' names in the newspaper. And so,
but in all fairness, you just did. You just named four.
The same way I've always done it, right? I'm just saying, in this case, people are asking me to differentiate what I've done before, and I'm just kind of a person that lives kind of very the way I do things is the way I do them. So, in preseason, I said, hey, these guys are suspended. In spring, I say these guys are suspended, and I understand you guys have a job, trust me, but I really don't think the issue is that me saying this. I think it's more just these guys are suspended. I know you guys will figure it all out eventually, right? So, I just want to make sure the only way to handle these kinds of situations when you're a football coach is to do what you have protocols and follow them. And so I try to have protocols and follow them. And I think I'm doing a pretty good job of standing here and answering a lot of questions that a lot of other coaches wouldn't. So, I feel good about that, but I don't know that I just don't want to deviate from what I do, because then that would be me doing something different. I don't know if that's fair to all, you know, the 120 guys I have, yeah.
Two of them are accused of sexual assault, and the other two I'm assuming aren't.
I've been following the news. There's different numbers everywhere, and it's just, again, I would tell you there's, it's way deep.
But we are choosing not to do that until they're indicted. So that's.
Matt, do you have anybody running track this spring?
Raleigh Texada is running track. And
any of the guys that came in?
You know, no, they're not really doing it right now. So maybe when we finish football, you know, they will. But I think Taekwon will eventually run track. I think he just came in and so light. And then we're so light at receiver. You know, I think he's put on some weight. And I think, you know, kind of a weird press conference, you know, just thinking about guys, you know, Taekwon Thornton, man, what a blessing he's been to the program. And I think he'll pick up, learn a lot from Chris, learn a lot from Pooh, learn a lot from those great receivers that we have that are older guys, and they can end up being a great player for us. Just has a really tough mentality. And, I mean, comes from Miami. To come all the way from Miami to here and step in mid-year, and boy, I tell you what, he's a worker. And so I think he'll run track eventually. I think JT Woods will run track eventually. And whether that's this year or not, I don't know. And I would love to maybe move spring up to help the track coaches out, but we're in a position right now where we have to get strong, and we needed 8 or 9 weeks because, you know, we have to become a stronger team to have a chance to win.
Have you gotten a call from Coach Drew about BJ?
Well, we had Obim. You know, one of the cool stories is Obim Okiki, you know, playing for us, getting a couple. I think he got a couple carries against TCU, getting a kickoff return against TCU, and then he's on the floor 2 days later against, you know, for the basketball team. And you know, I haven't had a chance to go to a ton of basketball games this year. I've tried to, but you know, seeing him at a three, you know, I didn't see it. I heard about it, but seeing it afterwards was really cool because Obim's a great, great, great kid. And, you know, walk on, paying his own way to come here and play two sports. I mean, what a great story. But I don't know if BJ can shoot. I know he can dunk. So, he can definitely dunk. So, hopefully he can get to the quarterback the same way.
Couple more.
Do you feel, I mean, if you look on paper, you've got so many, all your leading rushers are coming back, all these wide receivers, your offensive line, a lot of them are experienced. Do you feel, how optimistic do you feel about this fall, this spring, as opposed to how you felt a year ago?
Well, you know, I guess that's boring coach answers, but optimism to me is like an emotion. And so I just really, I do things based upon what I see that day. And then so I see a team that's working really hard. Really, we have great skill players. It's going to come down to, you know, how good are we on the offensive line, playing some young kids or some new kids. And so I feel good about that. You know, I mean, I feel good like the offensive line is going to come together. I see them coming together, but they're going to be young. And, you know, can our quarterbacks stay healthy? You know, they don't have a ton of quarterbacks in the program. But I don't want to belie this message. This team has worked their tail off. Like, this team should be proud of themselves. Their parents should be proud of them. Their high school coaches should be proud of them because they have just worked. And they're seeing the results. I mean, I hope when you come out to practice tomorrow, you'll see them bigger, stronger, and all that. And that to me is a credit to them. And so, you know, what it exactly will be, I went into every game last year thinking we were going to win. I mean, I'm optimistic, but, you know, that's an emotion to me. I mean, we have to do these things to win.
Pragmatic in you. How much better
than you? I think we're significantly better. Well, I think we're a different team than we were this time last year. Thank you. I think we're significantly better. And we're significantly better because of just age and growing up. And we're significantly better because they know what to expect. And, you know, coaches are better. We've been through the league now. We're sitting there today. We studied every Big 12 kid that went to the combine and what they ran and how fast. I mean, we see it differently. The players see it differently. So I certainly know we're going to be a really good team at some point. When that happens, I don't know. And so I'm hoping it happens really soon. I hope it happens tomorrow at practice. But everything else I've said to belie this. Our players should be really proud of how they've worked this winter. I think I'm a guy that's always told you guys when they shouldn't be. I'm pretty black and white about it. They should be really proud of the way they've worked this offseason and the things they've done.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Matt.